I've got good news for you. You're getting double for your money this morning because Gwenda is going to share something as well. So that's really neat. Now, we in this church, we talk about Jesus, you know, and Jesus came to give us life, to die for us and everything else, but he also came to teach us how to live and so that we can live life to the full. And he got this group of guys and he showed them, walked around them and taught them how to live, and then they passed it on, basically. And today we are looking at some of Jesus's teaching that he said. And there's a passage in the Bible, it's called the Beatitudes, and I thought, that's a funny word, the Beatitudes. And then I thought, looked at it and I thought, it is the Beatitude, or the attitude that you and I should have. This is what Jesus was talking about, the Beatitudes, how we should be. And so today we're going to look, I've been asked to talk, look at two of the Beatitudes, and they're found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 4 and 6. Two of the statements that Jesus made. The first one that we're going to look at is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, the promises of God are special. In 2 Peter, in chapter 1, and verse 3 and 4, and this is a contemporary English version written in a way I really like, it says, we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It was given to us by God's own power when we learnt that he had invited us to share in his wonderful goodness. And then the second verse is, God made great and marvelous promises so that his nature would become part of us. Then we could escape our evil desires and the corrupt influences of this world. You know, God's whole purpose of those promises is so that, another version says, so that we can share his divine nature. You can be a bit like God, in other words. Now, grief and mourning are part of life on this earth. Sooner or later, loss will come your way. How much grief accompanies that loss will be dependent on how precious to you that what you've lost was, or the one who you lost. The more value or love one holds for what or who was lost, the more intense the sorrow and the grief will be when separation occurs and mourning happens, mourning begins. But I want to stress this is normal and it is healthy to grieve. It is normal and healthy to mourn. Jesus said, blessed are those that mourn. If you don't mourn, then you're not going to be able to receive the blessing from God, which is promised to those that mourn. Jesus said there's a blessing there, and if you don't mourn, well, you're never going to get it. So there's a special blessing for those that mourn. What is the blessing Jesus promised to those that mourn? That's the big question. Or what is this blessing that's in the mourn? It is that they shall be comforted. When Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit to his disciples, he called him the Comforter. So it is the Holy Spirit who comforts us when we mourn. I lost my wife, Jeanette, my first wife, Jeanette, when she died of cancer. Oopsie. Thought this might happen. When she died of cancer in 2006, waves of intense grief would hit me. And in my distress, I found that speaking in tongues was more releasing than trying to think with my mind. I would cry out in the language of the Spirit from deep within me. Great sobs of grief would overpower me, and I have to read this, it's just, I might miss it otherwise. I would pour out my heart to the Lord with the Holy Spirit aiding me as he spoke his words through me. Depression came and tried to take hold of me, but I recognized it and told it to get lost. It came as a dark cloud down but I refused to go there and decided to choose gratitude rather than grief. I turned my words to thankfulness for the love I had enjoyed and for the wonderful privilege it had been to live with Jeanette. Well, I want to tell you that he is the comforter. He felt my sorrow with me and he shared it. Then he took my grief away and turned my mourning into dancing. It didn't happen straight away, but about 3 months, joy came and flooded into my soul, and lightness came again. It says, you know, he turned my mourning into dancing. And then I met Gwenda and I really started dancing. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. When Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, he was making a commitment. He was making a commitment to feel our griefs and sorrows with us and to take them away. It says he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, obviously my griefs are not all gone yet, but it's just precious, actually. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Grief is not an enemy. It brings us into blessing by causing us to know God in a way that we cannot experience without passing through the valley of the shadow of death. None of us want to suffer loss and have to mourn. But do not fear it, for God is faithful to his promise, and there will be blessing for you when it comes your way. I'm going to get Gwenda to come up now and share a little bit of her story.
God is good. The scripture says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. A year before my husband died, Willie, the Lord said to me, spend time with Willie. And I thought, nothing bad's going to happen, is it? And then I heard again, spend time with Willie. I still didn't know what this meant, but that's what I endeavoured to do. And then a year later, I was in hospital, and I looked out the window, and I saw the sun setting, and the Lord said to me, this is the sunset of Willie's life. And I saw a book close. So God is good that he prepares us. And Willie loved the book of Daniel, and the last reading was from Daniel 12. Go your way to the end. You know, so God was also preparing him. The grace of God was upon me. Thank you. and he carried me, and I felt his presence. And you know, I felt really close to God. And sometimes I thought, I'm in this special place in God. You know, it's amazing, you know. And then I felt him putting me down. I think it was a few months later. I'm not sure exactly when. And I said to the Lord, don't put me down. I want to be carried. I don't care if I'm a spiritual baby for the rest of my life, because I really enjoyed being this special sort of place in God. But I did actually sort of experience a change, and I think it was probably because he wanted me to grow. And, you know, he did what he wanted, not what I wanted, which is probably good. I actually am not really good at pain, and I avoid it at any cost. So I don't know if I've even grieve particularly healthy, which doesn't really equip me to particularly help anybody, because I have an avoidance, whereas Matt entered into his pain fully and embraced it, and I sort of, you know, ran away from it. And I remember saying to the Lord, how do I do this grief thing? And he said, I can't tell you anything that will make it right by tomorrow. And you know, God understands what you're really asking, because what I was asking for was a quick fix. And, you know, like, let me just get this over, you know, as least pain as possible. Well, that actually isn't possible. And so that's what the Lord said. And I, just the grace of God, I remember being in hospital. I remember seeing across the wall of the hospital a boat. And I was in the boat, and it was really rough. And the Lord said, it's going to get rough, but you're not going to fall out of the boat. And actually, I just remember, you know, I'm actually not a really confident person. I don't know if that's news to you. Probably isn't. But, oh gosh, I've just lost my train of thought. But actually, the moment that they said to me, more or less, Willie's dead, more or less, you know. I just, boom, something clicked, and just straight away I was like in control, in charge, and I like this person. This person was like, you know, the person I really wanted to be. And so just by the grace of God, I felt a strength, just it just flicked straight in. They said, "You're right," and I thought, I was totally okay. And I stayed like that. And so God, either he'd prepared it for me, or that was really what was inside all the time. I don't know, but I hadn't experienced it. I experienced it in a new way then, just God strengthening me, and I was really pleased about that. I'll just read. "For we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." Then it goes on to say, "But being further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." And in this time, was I was in this special place with God. I had a picture of like when Willie was in a coma and dying. And there were two angels at the end of the bed, and they were just talking naturally, just like we might talk, just waiting. But what was there was soon going to happen, is they were going to see the wonder. And it was an amazing thing to see, was when mortality was swallowed up in life. So this was an amazing thing, this when mortality becomes life. And so even for angels, like, this was just an amazing thing to see. "But further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up in life." So anyway, that's just the grace of God showing me these things. And I remember somebody giving me a card, because I think I had probably a fear of abandonment, and it said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And how wonderful words of God are in a hard time. They're just absolute words of life. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And another thing I wanted to say was that my friend Barbara, who was a close friend of mine here in Wellsford, she went up to Whangarei. And a month after Willie, my husband died, her husband dropped dead of a heart attack. And on the way up, I was thinking, don't say anything. You're a month further along. Don't say anything. Because, you know, you're not suddenly equipped with all the answers of widowhood, because everyone's experience is totally, totally different, and they're at different stages. So, but anyway, I did say something, and of course Barbara didn't hear it. So I thought, the Lord said not to say anything, because, you know, do you know what I mean? But so, you know, you still have to be careful to share with other widows and anything, because your experience is really, really different. And in 1 Corinthians it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." So I really can say that God was that to me. And Joseph said, "You have caused me to forget." And in many ways you do and you don't, if you can understand that you can still feel pain, but you're enjoying the blessing that God brings you into. And that's come to me in the form of Meg, which is, so God is very good. We're asked to two things and opposing things to speak on. The other one is, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I have a hunger to have a hunger, because I've seen people with a hunger that I really long for, and I've seen what they do. And it seems what I watch is they think that money has no hold on them anymore, and they can just empty their pockets. And they live like sojourners looking to heaven, and to the world that life has no hold on him, and they make choices, sacrificial choices, that bring others into blessing. And David had this hunger, and he says, "As a hart pants for the waters, so my soul longs for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And I personally have often challenged with where it says, "You have left your first love," because I'm still longing for that. You know, I think that there's a complacency, and for me personally, I'm sure it isn't your experience that you live in this wonderful place, it's just living and wanting to return and have that first love of God. I don't think I'm going to share the rest of that. It doesn't seem right now. I'll pass it on to me.
Thank you, Gwenda. You love Lindsay. Right, so I've just made some little comments on, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Righteousness in the New Testament is always the gift of righteousness given to us by Jesus. It is his righteousness, not something we can get by living a perfect life. In the Old Testament times, before Jesus came, a person was regarded as righteous if they obeyed all God's commands and lived a blameless life. But that was pretty hard, and not many people managed it. But things changed when Jesus came, and Jesus died to cleanse us from our sins. Jesus is saying here that it doesn't matter how bad a sinner you've been or what your background is. You can make it in your Christian walk to where you feel real good about how you're going. King James Version says, you will be filled. Filled or satisfied, like you feel after a good meal. It all depends on how much you want it. Most of us New Zealanders don't really know what it's like to be very hungry or to go more than a few days without food unless we're deliberately fasting. And usually there's water around somewhere in our lovely country. Jesus used a different illustration to say the same thing in John chapter 10, verse 9. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Just like sheep who get a full stomach on grass, we as people can have a rich and satisfying life if we come to Christ Jesus and through him enter into salvation and through him seek satisfaction. Now, hunger and thirst are powerful motivators. They usually cause us to take some action to satisfy their demands. The question we all need to ask ourselves is, how hungry and how thirsty am I for Jesus and his righteousness? We all know about junk food. It usually tastes nice and is quick and easy to buy at a fast food outlet. It might taste nice, but those that make it too much of their diet become unhealthy and overweight. Soon people that enjoy too much junk food lose their zest for life and they have to eat more and more of it to satisfy themselves. In a similar way, there are many diets that you and I can feed our souls and spirits on. They're easy and attractive pastimes that we can enjoy. They could be like TV or sports, video games or the internet, even fishing and sailing could be included in the mix. But if these sorts of alternatives are all we enjoy, then our inner hearts will never be satisfied. Compared to Jesus and his righteousness, they're just junk food. So, I want to finish my talk with this. Listen to Jesus. Prioritize righteousness. Make it your main goal. If you do, Jesus promises that you will be satisfied and be content in your life. So I'll just perhaps pray. And oh, you've got something more to say. Always got to have the last word. The best word.
Sorry, I just couldn't do that switch from one subject to another. Mac did it well. But the thing that I've been thinking about is where Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know not of. Is that food sustain Jesus?
Father, we come to you and acknowledge that you're wonderfully faithful. I thank you for being there for all of us when we've needed you, when we've been grieving. And I thank you for the confidence that your promises are true and we can trust them and that you are faithful and that you will be there for us when we need you in the future. We thank you for your blessing that comes to us through your presence. And Father, just with this other thing, we know we are all natural human people and we love pleasures and we love the easy things of life and they're very tempting and they're very in front of us. But pray, Father, that we might always turn our hearts back to you when we realize that our hearts are being led astray or led into things that are never going to really richly satisfy us. Draw us by your Holy Spirit, Father, that we might always see Jesus and love him and seek his ways. And we so thank you for the rich lives you lead us into. Thank you, Lord. I pray your blessing on this congregation, Father. I pray that they will thrive and be good. I thank you for their friendships to Gwenda and I. And I thank you that I can go off and have some fun seeing the world you've made. And I pray you'll bless everybody while we're away in Jesus' name.